What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Tulos Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to Tulos.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee.
Rick the Negotiator.
And this is the GODS Show Culture Report. And today's special is going to be called State of the Music Industry. And I didn't think that there was one better person to talk to about the state of the business than this guy. And let me tell you about this guy, first of all. There are people who are in the business because they have relationships. There are people who get money because they sneaky, just being honest. And then there are people who actually know how to do the work. I wouldn't vouch for anybody who I know haven't done the work. And this brother right here, Amir Boyd, has been a get busy, hustling, not complaining, whether he's with T.I., Rock Nation, Universal, wherever he was. And this guy is also one of the people that was laid off by Universal when they started getting ready 40%. So there's nobody better to talk to about the inside and the state of what it is than my brother. Y'all better know him. If you don't know him, you about to love him. Let's give it for Amir Boyd. Let's go. Amir, welcome to the show.
Man, thanks for having me.
DC in the house.
Yes, yes.
DC DMV. Is in the house.
DMV's in the building, baby.
Let's go. Let's go. So, Amir,
thank you for having me, man. This is, I think everything is about timing, so it's about time I'll be here.
And you know why? When layoffs happened, I had a lot of people hit me and say, Ray, I want to talk. The only reason why I wanted to talk to you before anybody is because when I left the building and I started this, this industry is very much like high school, very cliquish. Kind of like, oh, you going down the block? Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I remembered the people that pulled me to the side and said, hey, bro, what you're doing is important. Don't stop. And Amir was one of them people.
Absolutely.
So that's why I wanted Amir here. So, Amir, how's life, man? What's the hell going on?
Life is motherfucking grand. You know, yes, like you said, I got caught up in the layoffs. But it was more of a layup than a layoff for me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I knew this was coming.
For you, or you knew it was coming, period?
I knew it was coming, both.
Okay.
I knew it was coming for me. Last year around this time, I was having issues with my contract.
Okay.
And that's when I was like,
something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Yep.
And I was like, let me start setting up my plan A.
Yep.
I was just telling the guys before we went on camera.
Smart. I love that.
I was just telling the guys before we went on camera, like, I've always had a plan A if I had a job. And the plan A was whatever I was hustling for, you know what I'm saying? So if I had a job, you know, if I was a custodian, I was doing something else on the side. You feel me?
Yeah, for sure.
So it was never one thing that I had all my irons in. You know what I'm saying? So with the music business, it's no different. I have never done every single thing the right way the first time. I'm not perfect or none of that. I've had some ups and downs, but I've had more victories than losses in this
Absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So when this happened, it really was like, now I can rock out like I need to.
Mm.
All right. So I got relationships, right?
Oh,
and some of these people have been leaning into me, like, yo, bro, last year when I started, you know, having difficulties, I was like, man, let me go get back on LinkedIn and see what's going on with these other labels. And I'm calling other label heads and yada yada yada. And one of the homies, actually like four of the homies and my mom, kept saying to me, man, don't go back working for nobody else. Don't go work for another label.
Yeah.
You got your own sauce. You know how to do this stuff, man. You got your own relationships. Rest in peace to Clay. He was one of them.
R.I.P. Clay.
Jason Jeter was one of them. B.J. Kerr was another one. T.I. was one of them.
Shout out to Tip.
And they just kept saying, bro, you don't need to do that no more.
Yeah.
I, what was this? Maybe it was October. It was October because I was up there with Nick Grant, getting him on the Breakfast Club and doing all that kind of stuff. I managed him too. So I go to the Brooklyn Museum for the Jay-Z.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Before I go catch my flight.
Yep.
And I'm walking around this exhibit, and all I could hear was Jay-Z saying, "Amir, bet on yourself." Because if you go to that exhibit, if you got a chance to see that exhibit, that's really what he's saying. Like, I bet on myself.
Yeah.
You can too. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm having this conversation, or as I'm leaving this exhibit, my partner calling me, BJ, he like, "Man, me and Jason just got on the phone talking about you, bro. You stop thinking about going to work at another label." And I called Nick. "Man, you need to go." And I'm starting to shed a tear because I know what this is.
Yeah.
These are God's angels.
Those are God-ordained signs.
Exactly.
So it's like, it's time for a change. Whether you're ready for it or not. Yep.
You know, most of the time most of the time, the change that you need, you ain't ready for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, however, with this particular situation and me being laid off, I was ready.
Yeah.
So when people calling me and like my phone been jumping, people calling me, they asking me how am I doing? I'm like, "Man, I'm wonderful."
Yeah.
And they all saying the same thing. "Well, I know you're going to be straight because you then landed."
You're a veteran. Plus you have a skill that is valuable.
Exactly.
Your skill in the music business, the skill he has, he will always be straight.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you, Ray. If I never, and I'm going to say this with all sincereness, man, if I never work another record at radio, I would be perfectly fine with that.
Mm.
Because as the business started to change, I started to dig more into the content pieces, right? So it's more, to me, it's more important for me to be able to get an artist on Drink Champs than it is to get their record played at V103.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I started making sure I can call Drink Champs.
Yeah.
I can call Joe Budden.
Yeah. You can call Ray if you want. I'm just saying, it's done.
I can call Ray.
Yeah.
I can call, you know, DJ Head. I can call Bootleg. And they're going to pick up their phone on first ring.
Every
and say,
time.
Absolutely.
Whatever you need.
You know what I'm saying? And I had already started, you know, getting not just artists, but other entertainers and comedians booked on places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, getting them on morning shows and on Drink Champs and things like that. And I still do that. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So this was actually a blessing because now I can let people know. Because I think sometimes in this business, right, you get typecasted. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you work radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? I never wanted to be a one-trick pony.
Hell no. Nah.
You feel me? So I'm not going to say I feel bad, but I kind of feel like a lot of the people who was in getting these layoffs, that's the only thing they did.
I was about to say, I got to interrupt you and tell you, you're right, but here's the thing. With the business has been, combined. It has shrunk. And the reason why is because people have to be multifaceted. Where you, like, I know, I'm learning media firsthand, but I know music, I know A&R, I know management,
right.
I know all, and by the way, I make money from all those things, but right. If you just arch, the worst thing you could say is, "I just want to be an A&R. Man, I feel bad. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing you could say is, "I want to be an A&R. And it's because if you want to be a manager, at least we know you can top off making millions of dollars.
Yep.
Managers. But if you want to be an A&R, that means you're always at the mercy of someone having to give you an opportunity to get the job. And then you sign all this shit and you don't own it.
Man.
And I want to speak about from the inside, because now in 2023, 24, 22, the 2020s, label execs are overworked more than ever.
Yeah, because they cutting so much other things off.
Yeah.
You're right. You do have to have multiple skill sets. I was always referred to as the Swiss Army knife.
Yep.
Right. Because I know how to do so many things, and I, you know, some of the execs I've had execs sit around they whole staff and say, "Homie, different." You know what I mean? He a little different from y'all. Like, y'all know how to do this, but he know how to do culture.
Everything. Exactly. But that's to me, that's an Atlanta thing.
Absolutely.
Because you have to be everything here.
You have to be everything.
Because
here.
If you're not, because it's not like there's jobs here. So you got to learn how to do it all so you can bring the money in.
You learn that when you get on the independent side.
Yes. Right?
Shout out to Shaka Zulu and Jason Jeter again. When I was working with them at Culture Republic, I never in my life thought that I would have to put a band together for a late night show.
That's crazy.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I never thought, like, when I got into this business, that was never in my vision.
Yep.
Okay, so here we are. We got an artist. We doing Stephen Colbert. Who gonna put this band together?
Mm.
And when I did it, the band, afterwards, we was all celebrating. I was like, yo, this is my first time doing something like this. They all was looking at me like, nah, bro, you tripping. Like, no, this shit went smooth as fuck. And again, I had some other people on the team to help get it done, but I was the one leading the course, right?
Sure.
And they all was looking at me like, there's no way this is your first time doing this. So I learned and Grand Hustle, like, come on,
I'm about to say, look at Hannah, look at Jason. Like, Jason has a fashion thing going. Bro, like, it's, you have to be that here.
You learn that when you with an independent or a partnership.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Or when I say you learn that when you start making money. Because when you start making, once you understand how the money flows, you start looking like, oh, that's what they do.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Yes.
Oh, shit, if I want to make more money, I got to learn to do more.
All hands on deck.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it's again, man, like, you know, I think the execs, like a lot of people, and I'm talking about the higher ups, I think what's happening with them is, you know, everybody underneath them is just fighting for, vying for a position.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I would have people hitting me and like, man, that's my contact. And I'm like, well, I know these people personally.
You feel me?
Like, shout out to Andrew Schultz. I know Andrew Schultz personally. So if I want to get Mexican OT on Andrew Schultz, I'm going to hit Schultz. And he's going to bring his people in, too.
Yep.
You feel me?
Absolutely.
Or
that's you how you did mine. You hit me. I put you on. I was on the A. Hey, before I forget, I did it on Instagram. Yep. Yo, get him. We need him on the show. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
To a point where people are getting touchy over contacts now.
Bro, I promise you.
People for 10, 15, 20 years, but no, that's my, like, that's my, like, wait a second.
Yeah, nah. Folks would be like, yo, that's my, like, I already started a conversation with this production team, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's cool, but I know these people directly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's always who got the best relationship in the room.
It's always who got the best relationship.
Who got the best relationship? You, then you make the call.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So, and not in a disrespectful manner, but I had to let them know, like, yo, but I noticed that was happening more and more with me, right? it was kind of like, because again, they want you, these labels, as much as you think they want you to be multifaceted, they really don't.
Oh, no, they don't.
If you come in as a promo person,
you are a promo person.
You're a promo person.
That's my point. That's the problem with the business. Yes. I remember specifically working at Epic, and Latrice was so in with her artists that we was like, why don't they let... I remember I was like, Latrice, like, damn, you damn like an A&R. She's like, I want to do A&R.
Right.
And I was like, why can't you do it? And it was almost like... What you like? No, you marketing person does marketing. Yeah, I'm like,
yes,
no.
What they do is how they operate.
But here's, but we lost though. That's why we lost.
Agree.
No, I'm saying no. You're wrong. You're not wrong. I'm saying that is why we lost. What happened was everybody was being guarding what they protected, and didn't want to let nobody in. And then the label said, "Fuck all y'all."
Man, Sha Money. When I was at Epic, I was the first person they hired at Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Right when. Benny Pugh called me and was like, yo, who's the hottest people in Atlanta? And I told him Titty Boy. I told him Trouble. I said the Charlie Boy Gang, they got a record because they had the Beef It Up record at the time. And I said Future, right? About a month later, B- Benny called me back and said, we signed Future, we hiring you. Here's your salary.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Shout out to Benny Pugh. That's a real one.
Exactly.
Love that.
As shit was going on, I was bringing other artists to the label. You know what I'm saying? Well, I had the relationship with them. One being Cash Out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Cash Out signs to Epic. Shy Money ends up coming over to Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Shy Money started moving around in Atlanta in these studios, and I don't know how to lie.
Yeah.
So these are all true stories. Shy Money calls me and said, man, I've been moving around these studios in Atlanta. Everybody keep bringing up your name. You want to come on the A&R side? I said, bro, absolutely. Because for me, that would have been another feather I would have been put in my hat.
Yep.
Even though I had done some of that at Grand Hustle, because at Grand Hustle was all hands in. Yeah. Like, yo, let's get whatever you can bring. You feel me? So when he said that, I said, bro, by all means. He was like, man. And then he came back to me. He's like, man, they ain't trying to let you leave where you at. Which is promo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm like, why can't I do both?
Why can't I do both?
By the way, if they allowed that, the business would be different.
Way different.
You know why? Because the people who know radio, we know where them hits come. We know a hit when we see one. Most of us know a hit in our sleep.
Yep, radio guys know hits.
There's no more real music people left that love
that's
music.
That's a whole nother topic.
Not business, but love music.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I think it is. I think the music business used to be like organized crime. And if you were a part of the Iveen family, if you were part of the Reed family, if you was with LA, you was with LA. You could see Jimmy, but everybody knew who you belonged to. And if you switched, like it was a big deal that Larry Jackson switched from Clive Davis to Jimmy Iovine.
Yep.
That was a big deal because Larry was always a Clive guy.
Yep.
And I think that it should be very mafia-like. So it was almost like, this is how we move, this is how we act, this is what we do. And then what happened is that those guys started retiring off, and then they start giving, in my opinion, nerds power. Not nerds the job, but nerds power. So now, what's more intimidating to a nerd when his girl's around? What's the most intimidating thing to happen to him? A cool nigga enter the room. Now that nigga's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I gotta get out of it, bruh. I knew it was going down. I knew the music business was gonna happen. I saw it in 2015 when streaming entered. I saw it in 2015 because when I worked at Epic in 2013, we signed what we wanted. Now, don't get me wrong. You might have a record pop up. We got to go chase.
Right.
But if we signed 10 things, 8 of them was organic. 2 of them had a bidding war.
Yep.
When I got to Interscope, everything had to have a bidding war. I was like, hold on. So I can't sign nothing I like. And I signed one thing I liked, and then Joey killed it. It was like, fuck. Now I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? So then I go to Warner, and I'm like, Taste?
Right.
A&R is nothing besides high-level bettors. For a company, and they don't make none of that best. They don't make nothing when it wins, and they don't get nothing when it loses besides their job.
And they get blamed for all the losses.
And then not only that, but here's the thing. Like, at least 15 years, at least 13, 14 years. That's 14, 15 years of seeing each other out, knowing how each other move. I watch your daughters grow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's 15 years of that. You can't pay for that. So when Amir needs something, it's going to be way different than another guy calling me from a company because I don't know who the fuck you are. Who are you again?
Right.
And then I love asking them what they want.
Right.
What you looking for?
Right.
Oh, man, I need boom, boom. I was like, oh.
I mean, the relationships, bro. You know, it's so cliche because you hear people say that in almost any business. Relationships, relationships, relationships. But I have been in this business since 1999 and done radio, retail, motherfucking worked at all these motherfucking labels. Even if I ain't worked for them, they done cut me a check for something.
Sure.
Got a lot of artist deals, all kinds of stuff. And I haven't filled out a job application since 1999.
Mm-mm.
That's all relationships. I've been in Interscope twice. This is my second time. Shout out to Keenan Johnson because he came when my initial job on the record side was through Kevin Lyles, through a relationship I had in Baltimore.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Working in radio. My first time at Interscope was through Keenan Johnson. He became a national. He needed somebody to cover the market. Boom. Why not me?
Right. Yep.
This second time I end up at Interscope was I'm walking into a Dave Chappelle show downtown Atlanta, and I see Keenan and Larry Kahn. Shout out to Larry Kahn.
Shout out to Larry Kahn.
And I'm like, yo, I hear y'all hiring. They like, yeah, we are. And the next day, me and Larry sitting in a hotel, he like, do you want to move to L.A.? And I'm like, hell yeah. my daughter was going to USC.
Yeah.
So it was perfect. You feel me? And I had been telling Jason and Nick, like, man, we need to move to LA because we was recording so much out there. I started to say, man, I'm gonna end up living in LA.
Yeah.
So it ended up happening. But all of that was relationship based. You know what I'm saying? Conversations, right? Not being afraid to have the conversations. Not even being afraid to ask somebody something about something that they may not even know they needed.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's that thinking on your two feet.
Exactly.
And that's what the business has been built on. Right. Now we don't think on our two feet. Nah. We chase whatever. If we're sitting down, something's over there, tie our shoes, run after it. Bruh, if you know that, the music business is easy. Make noise, they come.
Yep.
If you ain't making noise, nobody's coming. Nobody's just make coming. Noise and you come. But what I don't, so I'm gonna just give you a little bit about where I was. So what I didn't understand is, what I don't like about jobs is that they own you. And that's what people don't understand. If I started the God Show when I worked at Warner, they technically could say, that's our intellectual property. Yep. Everything you, because you, I didn't carve it out in the beginning. Yep. I carved out my business that I have, but the other shit, so while you working there, you can't do nothing. And not only that, they want you in wasteless meetings. Wasteless meetings. Dog, stars know how to be stars from stars. We have no stars. We have no star executives. We have nobody in the room saying, boom, boom, boom. This is how you do. I remember watching LA do it, and I was like, wow, I could do that.
Yeah.
And then I got to other companies, and they didn't do it. And I was like, and I remember one of them asked me, one of the major companies, one of them CEOs said, gosh, your question privately. It's like that scene from Drumline. You know, I left Epic to go there. Yeah. So I get in the room. First question they asked me is, what does LA know that we don't? Like, nigga, why y'all ask him? I came over here to do my job.
Right.
But that let me know I made the wrong decision. That's also probably why I quit a year into my contract. Because I was like, they don't want me.
They want the sauce you had.
I was a big chess piece on a board that said, look what we doing.
Yeah.
It ain't even about me.
Yeah. Nope.
My dog, I didn't do shit. Yeah. And now, dog, let me give you an example. When I work for LA Reid, you can give them a hit on Monday.
Yeah.
Nigga, that Friday... Where the fuck you at?
Yeah.
When I was at Interscope, not one person asked me about a record. Not one person, nothing. We never played music. It was all data, planning, and that was it.
Yeah, man. I was just saying, like, the game has, you know, kind of go what you were saying. We the business has lost a lot of people who love music. Bro, I got a tattoo that says I love music.
Yeah.
That's how... And I'm walking around with my headphones listening to music. You know what I'm saying? And I've been like that even when I was a young one.
Yeah.
And I was in college. People, I always had headphones on. So I think the business has lost, or it's losing people who love music.
But they don't want people that love music there.
They don't want people that love music.
They want people who wants to do the job.
Who want to do the job and shut up.
And you know what I would tell anybody who's listening? There are 52 million songs being uploaded per year. Out of those 52 million, let's go high. Even though I know it's not this high, let's say 1 million of those are from every major label. Yep. The other 51 million, and I know major labels don't put out. Yeah. They probably put out 15 records a week.
Yeah.
So it's probably but on a good label, 10 to 15, so 10 weeks, 520 songs. So nigga, we really talking about 6,000-7,000 songs out of 52 million. Yeah. So out of 52 million, 7,000, 8,000, let's say 10,000 are from majors. The other 51,990,000 is from people like us who want someone like you, someone like you, someone like me. So when people were trying to talk about jobs, I'm like, dog, it don't matter how high up you go, how low you go, that pay stays the same.
Yep.
Nigga, so it's like, and nobody talks about how it is when you're passing money around, when you're giving your friend a $3 million deal. Now you're like, fuck, this nigga just made what I make in a year and then some of one deal. Go live his life.
Yeah.
And here's the crazy part. The label don't even hold him accountable. Nope. They hold me accountable. Yep. So now I'm doing the job that you're supposed to be doing, watching you live your life. Then I realize I don't get no more money from doing this shit. Oh no, reset. Nah, I'm managing managers now, guys. I'm not an A&R. A&R is not about A&R, and it's about managing managers.
Yeah.
Because these managers are coming up. They are the brother or cousin of an artist that went viral. Now here come the label. And now instead of me working with the artist, I'm telling the manager, so that guy does that. Yep. Well, what does he do? Wait, how the fuck?
Yeah. Nah, they don't. It's so crazy, yo. You know, we both have shared the cover of the Double XL stuff, and my shit didn't come from the PR company.
Mine either.
My shit came from the relationship I have with Double XL.
Mine came from Latrice and Courtney. Now, absolutely. Watch this.
Absolutely.
Warner didn't even submit me.
No, they didn't submit me either.
No, nigga, they didn't submit. Let me tell you why I know.
They was big mad that
they,
I was on
there. Yeah, they didn't submit me. Warner didn't submit me. They submitted Norve, who they loved, and I think Erica. So how I got on the list, Vanessa from XXL absolutely called me direct and said, hey, Ray, you're selected. I'm like, okay. And she was like, what's your title again?
Yes.
And I was like, well, I'm SVP at Warner. And she was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm letting you know, Latrice and Courtney is the reason why you're here. They absolutely told me we need you.
Absolutely. Shout out to Latrice
watch
and Courtney.
Watch this. I go to Warner and I say, hey, guys, I'm selected for the Double XL. How does that work? Oh, we submitted you. They picked you?
Oh, yeah. See, yours was
fine,
a little.
But they didn't submit you.
They didn't. Crazy. But that's what I'm saying. So when I understood this game picks favorites.
Yes.
That's when I knew. I'm going to make myself my own favorite. Put a camera in front of me. I'm going to talk. Because hey, I'm not going to let nobody pick. I'm not going to let nobody determine if I'm their favorite.
It's been a blessing to have you do this, bro. Because, you know, it's so much other stuff going on with these podcasts. And I think I had posted something a couple of months ago talking about, yo, we need to do a podcast kit buyback program, right? But I wasn't talking about you. You know what I'm saying? I was talking about all these fake.
Not for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because this is informative, right? And we talking about real life people that we really got relationships with that we can get on the phone with right now. You feel me? I can call Latrice. I can call Courtney. I can call so many people.
Anybody.
And they going to pick up the phone, right?
Every time.
The day Benny Pugh fired me, he fired me and said in the same conversation, but I'm going to need to keep in touch with you because you going to come up with something.
Mm.
He ended up going over to Roc Nation. I ended up getting deals over there.
Yeah.
Epic, me, Shaka, and Jason, we took Nick over there and got that deal over there. I didn't take none of that shit personal because it was business, and I always know I'm going to land on my feet.
Yeah.
Feel me? So the same thing happened to me, bro. Vanessa called me. She said, yo, I'm putting you on the cover. And at the time, I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Me neither.
So we went and did the photo shoot and everything. The shit comes out in December, actually right around my birthday. I'm in Jamaica with COVID.
Yep.
And phone going crazy, but now I'm starting to get the calls from the people at the label. Like, yo, woo, 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 woo. And I'm like, well, my shit came in from Vanessa.
Yeah.
Through Latrice and Courtney.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I said, Vanessa said, she like, yo, you know, they got some other people on there too, but I wanted to make sure you was on here because you deserve it. You feel me? And again, it made me realize, man, if they people uncomfortable with you betting on yourself.
Oh, no. Nobody. No.
Very uncomfortable. Ambition.
No. Nobody wants you to bet on yourself. Because if you win, that's just a reminder that they didn't bet. Because we all could have bet on ourselves.
Yep.
Some of us just chose to take checks.
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie. I was just telling somebody this.
I love them checks. I ain't going to lie.
I was going to tell somebody. I was like, but dude, like when I left Interscope, Warner, my last situation, they said, what's your title now? I said, I'm head of A&R for myself. That's my title. Because I know if I break something, it's mine.
Right.
And I can have all the money from it, and that's it. I make six figures from my signings outside of labels. Right. I make nothing from my signings inside of labels.
Mm.
Everything I signed outside of labels still pays me to this day because it's mine.
Right.
I remember when I went to label, I was like, why wouldn't they, instead of giving us bonuses, give me that bonus money to sign something for myself.
Mm.
So instead of me saying, here's a $100,000 bonus, it's like, you could choose the bonus option or you could put that $100,000 in the artist's pocket and do your own thing. How many niggas you think are going to do their own thing?
Man.
But they don't want nobody doing
their
own thing.
They don't want nobody doing their own
thing.
Because
when you do, because they are all, dog, it's just no entrepreneurs. It's a fucked up game. And I just tell anybody who lost their job, hey man, it's the greatest thing to happen to you.
Man, listen, literally, that's been the theme of text messages for me or people when they call me like, yo, this has been, shout out to my man Keem over at TDE, because I had to let them know I'm booking Schoolboy for do Drink Champs and all that stuff. And I was like, yo, man, just so you know, like, they laid me off. He said, nah. They gave you a layup.
What?
You know what I'm saying? They gave you a layup. They can't never lay you off. You feel me?
Nope.
So that, now, I had already been thinking like that, but he reworded it so it made more sense.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, when I had to let my staff know that I was gone, that I was, my text message in the text group was, man, this is a blessing in disguise.
It
you
is.
Know what I'm saying? Because now you can 100% bet on yourself. And like I said, this is what I want to convey in this to people who are still at these labels. Because there's still a lot of great people for at sure. these labels. And some of them, I got some brothers over there and I got some sisters over there. Like, literally, if you look in my phone, I have their name and sister, not even their last name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I know they good.
Yep.
But it's for the other people that made it. If you do not start setting up your next play, you're setting yourself up for failure, because these labels are going to continue to shrink. This was just the first layoff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you could, YouTube just laid off a whole bunch of people. Amazon laid off a whole bunch of people. Sony, BT, like, it's going to continue to happen. So, because the world is getting smaller, because certain things you don't have to go do no more. You think about how the digital download kind of like crippled a lot of industry.
Yep.
Trucking.
Yep.
Packaging.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Record stores. All that. Yep. So you think that it's not going to continue to trickle down in the music business?
Exactly.
Vinyl plants. It used to be vinyl plants all over the place. That's why it takes so long to get vinyl made now, because they're not all over the place like they were.
And that's why it's so expensive, because
they
need to almost have you damn near pre-order it.
Exactly.
So they don't print it up.
Exactly. So it's going to continue happening, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, do not think that this, I'm telling the young lady who got laid off in the A&R department, it's time for you to bet on yourself. Do not think that these labels give a fuck. You're a number. So you better have something. I don't like to say plan B, because my plan A is
sure.
what I'm doing. Right. You feel me? Have your plan A in motion. You know what I'm saying? Don't wait until you get laid off and then you trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Stop being company men.
Man, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, let me tell you why I say that, because I know that might kind of come flagrant, right? What I mean by that is, like, how can you be a company person when you know that the people at the top will cut your throat to save a dollar? No, not even to save a dollar, to make a dollar.
To make a dollar.
Like, not $2.
Yeah.
$1.
$1.
Like, when you think about the fact that Universal releases, we made $12.3 billion this quarter. And then the stock price go up and they say, and we're firing people.
Bruh.
You talking, but by the way, how the fuck do you think these artists are making it?
Listen, bro.
Who's the heart and soul of these artists' careers? You will not see no artist say, man, thank me, it was all me. It's them people in them cubicles, them buildings that made that extra phone call, that stayed the extra late, that did the work, and they have nothing to do with it. The most important people at the labels, here's what the music business has told us. Only two people matter, or three people matter. This is what the music business taught me. Y'all can add to it. They taught us that number one people is money people. Mm-hmm. The board, the people putting the money up, they matter more than every employee and everybody else. Second one is the CEO. The CEO, because that senior staff, that C-suite, nigga, they knew who was getting let go.
Absolutely.
They knew. They actually.
Last year.
They had to approve it. They knew who was getting let go. They had to approve it. So, and the third is the artist. Yep. Everybody else, nobody matters. Like, nobody matters. I don't care if you are in the promo staff and you got a record, the most ads this week. I don't care if you're in the digital staff and you got something going viral. I don't care about none of that shit. In their mind, we can replace you.
Absolutely.
We can't replace our artists. We need our CEO and we need these money people. Everybody else, y'all niggas are in the intermatchable pieces on the board. When I knew that, I'm like, well, I'd be a goddamn fool to give everything to them.
Yeah. It takes you to go through it, though. For you to understand
this is what it means in business. This is what it's like. It's like standing outside the nightclub. Think about it. Most nightclubs' market employee is the people standing outside.
Yeah.
And then you see people walking out, and I'm like, how's it in there?
Right.
That's whack. That's what it is. Now, you're a goddamn fool if you do that two times in a night.
You know what I'm
now, if you do that one night and you walk in, you're like, oh, this shit ain't popping. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
You don't go wait in another line and be like, how that shit in there?
Because
you figured it out.
Yeah.
That's the music business is like.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. They done start throwing day parties, block parties, everything across the street. And niggas is like, well, shit, I can get the whole vibe here. And I ain't got to worry about the asshole doorman, asshole club people. I can go right here, pull my radio out and have a party and nobody can stop it. When people figure that out, you got to figure that part out. And then the other thing is you got to make sure if you got fired, I got one thing I'm going to tell you. Cut everything off. Cut everything off. You got to get your lungs back in shape.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you getting paid, like, I ain't going to lie to you. Them corporate cards, man. That traveling. Man. Every time I get on a plane to L.A., that's like $2,000. Yep. And the hotels, that every L.A. trip cost me $5,000. Yep. Every L.A. trip. Yep. Hotel, rental cars, nigga, even if I'm standing for 4 days or 9 days, it's a minimum because the flight is most of it. Once you start understanding that, so when you start understanding that part of it, it was like, okay, Ray, just cut the corporate card. That's cool. No more dinners. Because what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to alter my family's life. Right. I didn't want to go home and tell my kids, daddy's not working no more, so y'all can't go get ice cream on Saturday. Nah, right. Fuck that. Y'all get whatever y'all want. Nothing's wrong. Daddy's a hero. I got this. And I went out. And you start figuring out, like, damn, cut that off. Then you start being like, I don't even need that shit. I start realizing how much time I get my family because I don't do dinner every night on a corporate car. Yep. Then I'm like, shit, I start feeling more fulfilled than ever. You got to get your lungs in shape if you lost your job.
Yo, that's
wake up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wake up tomorrow. And if you lost your job today, wake up tomorrow and do your same routine tomorrow. Wait, do not change your routine because of job. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get lazy, you're going to get depressed. Yeah. So don't stop working. Whatever phone calls you make, make them same phone calls. Even if it's to say, I lost my job, I don't really have it right now, but I want to check in, bro. Are you good? Or sister, you good? Even if it's that. Yeah. Honestly, guys, I say this all the time. I'm going to say it again. I only started this podcast to get a job. Swear to God, Amir. I was like, I'm not going to ask for a job, but I figured if I got, what changed it was Gary Vee. I had an artist I just signed. And signed 2K Baby, and him and his manager was like, bro, you think you get us in a room with Gary Vee? And I was like, what the fuck does he know about music?
Right.
They don't even know. Right. They know that he cares about people.
Right.
So I was like, I'm gonna start talking and hopefully build some kind of currency in the creative community that a label comes and says, hey, Ray, why don't you come be our EVP? That was the goal.
Right.
And then I start realizing, I'm like, and by the way, it came. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't get those calls and got those offers, and it came with conditions.
Yeah.
We can give you this EVP title, but you got to quit the pod. I don't want to do that. By the way, my girl was right there. She's right there. She was right there when I got the call. Yeah. Heard the call on speaker. So it's not like I'm making it up. Right there. So I got offered. And then it was like, all right, let's do it. And then it would be like, 4 months ago by, you don't hear nothing from them. Then I was like, that's the devil trying to slow me down.
Man,
the minute that I said, I'm going to embrace this shit. Because I was in purgatory for a year and like 2 or 3 months. I was in purgatory. I didn't know if I was in the music or media. And I wanted to be in music, but it felt like they was treating me like a media guy. I asked Nicole with Circo. I just did a deal with Interscope. It's going to be announced soon. And in that deal, Nicole was like, and I kind of snapped at her. I ain't going to lie to you. She was like, Ray, I just want to let you know, you killing it. We love what you're doing. And I'm like, man, can we not do that right now?
Right.
What's the problem? I'm like, I'm one of y'all. Why y'all, I don't want to talk about that fucking podcast. That's my only option right now.
Right.
And they was like, oh, my bad. I was like, but you're great at it. In my mind, I thought they was playing me. Because like, if I'm so fucking good, why y'all not fucking with me? I can't be that good. I'm good over there.
Right.
It's like when you tell a fat girl that you're not my type, but you're a beautiful soul.
Right.
You don't want her, nigga. Just bitch, you don't want her. She ain't your type.
Yeah.
Tell her the truth. But she gonna go lose weight. You know it. She gonna go in that gym, lose that weight, and you're gonna be like, hey. She gonna be like, fuck you. We know that already. So once I figured that shit out, I was like, they ain't coming to me. Don't worry about it. And I swear to God, Amir, the minute that I talked to God every day. And the minute I said, all right, God, I hear you. I'm a media guy now. It was like everything I wanted fell into place.
You are spot on with the make sure you're doing the same things you were doing and don't sleep in the bed all day because you ain't got no job. Because I fell into that when I got fired from Epic. Right. When I got laid off from Epic, after the money dried up, I went into a state of depression.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember you gained a lot of weight and then you started running out. I remember that.
I started running and everything.
Yep.
And I mean, I literally had a gun in my mouth at one point. You feel me? Getting ready to do it all because I just was like, yo, you know. But then this time, so coming out of that, right, I said I would.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Never go back to that. So this time, it's been a blessing. My phone has been jumping, bro. I'm talking about folks been asking me to manage them that I didn't even know they needed managers.
Yeah.
You feel me? And people are believing in me because they know I got all this bag of tricks.
And then and all you're doing now is doing it for them and you rather than doing it for them for a check. Exactly. You just get paid last. Exactly. That's why I say get your lungs up because exactly. You got to be ready to run because sometimes they're going to push you to see how far can you go. Yeah, how much money exactly. Do you got, nigga?
Exactly.
I'm going to take 3 weeks to get back to you to see how you respond.
Yeah.
It's a fucking dog eat dog world.
Hey, folks are believing in me even more so than I somewhat believed in myself. You feel me? So listen. I want the people who got laid off to know, like, yo, this ain't the end. This should not be the end of your career.
No way.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell no.
You should be using this to focus on your plan A. And you may or may not. I put out here the other day, I'm never going to work for another major label.
Me neither.
Like, when I go into another major situation, it's going to be me taking an artist in there getting a deal. It ain't going to never be them giving me a corporate card and me working for them and they being controlling about what I have access to.
We got 19 meetings this week.
Bro.
Be prepared.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I don't need to do. I'll be 50 in December, bro. So I'm not about to be in somebody's system like that again. You feel
me? Nah, you won't be owned.
Nah, I'm not doing that no more.
Dog, let me.
I got enough years of experience. And trust me, whatever I don't know, I am not too big of an ego to go learn, feel me? Or admit that I don't know it and bring some younger people around me and show me
that's
it.
That's the way it's always been. You tell them what you know, they tell them what y'all know and y'all build together. That's how it's always been.
Absolutely. So I don't want, I think, and again, I'm talking to some people who lost their job. People hitting me like, man, the way they did this was dirty. You know, I was there for 26 years or I've been there for 5 years and it's the first time I ever got laid off and yada, yada, yada. Man, listen. I've been there. When I decided to take this job at Interscope, I said to myself, this is going to be a 5-year run.
Mm.
I got 7 out of it.
Mm.
7 is the number that means what?
Yep. Completion. God. Yep. Exactly. It's God's number. Yep.
So I got what I needed out of it and some. And I went in there and went to, if I had an artist itinerary and maybe I set something up at BET with him in New York, and he was going to Spotify and he was going to SoundCloud, I went to all of them meetings. Came out of there with contacts.
Got to. How you doing? Got to.
You know what I'm saying?
Got to.
Like, you know what I mean? I ain't just going in and just was like a flower on the wall or a part of the entourage. Nah, B. I went in there with intent to come out and see who the decision maker was.
Yep.
Got their phone number. I might even got the front desk lady phone number.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Speak to everybody.
Speak to everybody because I knew this was coming. So now they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you were so woo, woo, woo. Yep. I got this going on now. Can you help me set this up for my artist, for my whatever? Like, those going into them spots was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that everybody who got laid off, and I know some of the people have because they've been telling me, but especially for the younger people, you should have never put all of your eggs in one basket with this shit. I hope that you got some relationships that can take you further than you were being at the label.
Agreed.
Because that's the part that you gotta learn. You know what I'm saying? Because you think about it, everybody that's in these labels, the execs, you know, Nicole, W, everybody, shout out, I love them all. But they didn't get to where they are by being a one trick.
Hell no. Nicole's a lawyer and now she's an A&R. Like all Absolutely. That, you can't. You gotta do more. But you know what it is? So I have a couple questions for you. First thing is for the people that don't know, how does the layoff come directly to the person? Like, do you get an email
saying? Oh, yeah, you get an email saying, come to my office for me.
Who's the email from? Is it HR?
No, it's not HR. It's, and I, at Interscope, I can say it was, I don't know his title, but he been there forever.
Yeah.
You get an email, actually, because I knew it was coming, I got an email. Hold up. Let me tell you. Let me
get you. Yeah, go ahead. Shit.
I knew it was coming on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I left LA Tuesday night to come to Atlanta.
Smart.
A group that I managed, PSC.
Yep.
Had a listening playback at Pandora.
Yep.
There's no way I was going to not be at the
Of course.
Right.
I knew on the flight.
Plus, that's your future.
That's right. I knew. And the music is amazing. Shout out to PSC. I knew on the flight that I was going to be laid off the next day.
Mm.
So my mom been telling me I had this sermon since I was 14 years old. When she said that to me, I didn't know what it meant. She said, go look it up. I had one of them kind of moms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go look it up. Go look it up. Once I found out, I start like.
Position yourself. Yeah. Exactly. Stand in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I knew that I was going to get laid off from the flight that I took, 10:50, to landing in LA at 6 in the morning.
Atlanta, 6 in the morning.
I knew that I was going to get laid off later on that day.
Got you.
We have a system. On Tuesdays, we would, on Wednesdays, we would have one-on-ones, myself, Keenan, then the rest of the staff. We call them one-on-ones to go through their market.
Yeah.
As we doing this, I think we, the first person in, I get an email.
Yeah.
Said, can you come to my office at 12:30 PST? Now, at this time, I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So I knew what was about to happen. And then other people started getting the same email from the same person. So I was like, hey, it's about to go down.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, at this point, we get another call from a label head a department head who got laid off. And I was like, yo, this the day. We knew this shit was coming. You feel me? And just like I said it, all of us started getting laid off. I had to email him back and say, I'm out of town.
Yeah.
Can we do it over Zoom? And we get on the Zoom, and I'm like, listen, I know what this is.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Now, I ain't gonna front. They, you know, I was under contract.
I would say, so you're gonna get, so that's another thing. A lot of people who are under contracts are okay because you get paid out for the duration of your contract. Absolutely. It's those people who get 6 week severance and got to figure it out. Those ones you feel bad for. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the 401k and, you know, vacation and all that. So, you know, you got a minute to figure it out. But I say this I think the most important thing that I want to say here is they knew this shit last year.
And that's the second question. The next question is, what does it say that, because I ain't going to lie to you, I'm going to just say her name. when I heard Brenda got let go.
Yeah. Well, I knew that was coming.
Nigga, if you anybody in the business knows, yeah. Brenda Romano, like that is.
She probably knew too.
No, but she is the most. She was the most. She's the queen of radio, nigga. Like pop radio, nobody's bigger than Brenda.
She is the foundation of Interscope.
At bottom line, like she is the Step Johnson. Yes. If Step stayed in the game another 15 years, yes. How Step was Jimmy right hand man, she was. So when I heard Brenda, yes. Here's the question. What does it say to the game that labels are saying we don't need radio departments, we don't need publicity departments? What is that saying to the world? Because that's the real message.
That is real message. And that's why I'm prefacing by saying my cohorts who I know are still in there and on the promo side, set your shit up. Yep. Get ready. You know what I'm saying? It's people on my staff that have commended me. They like, man, at first I didn't understand why you move the way you do. And then now they like, now I understand why you move the way you do.
Yeah.
Because by them getting rid of these departments and busting them down, you know, breaking them down. Just think about it. You got iHeart, you got Radio 1, and you got
Cumulus,
and you got like some other little partners, you know what I'm saying, companies. But iHeart owns like 30% of the chart. I'm talking about the urban chart.
Yep.
They own like, and probably less than that on the rhythmic. But they own 30% of the chart. All right, so if they are going fully syndication and they got, you know, they got syndication means like they got one person doing on all the radio stations.
Like the Breakfast Club is a syndicated show. We hear it in Atlanta, even though they're New York based.
Exactly. And then they got their afternoon drive like that. And then they got their middays like that. And they got their nights like that. Like, why do I need, and this is going to happen in the radio side too.
Everywhere.
Why do I need a program director in each one of these buildings? Right? I don't. So guess what? Now I just need like
a Reggie Rouse character who you go to that does like five or six markets.
Exactly. Yep. And so guess what? Now that means the label looking at like, shit, well, if that's the case, why do I need a staff of 8 people on a promo team when it's really only 3 or 4 people that you need to talk to get a record played?
Exactly. And not only that, I don't need a guy in Chicago no more because the Chicago station syndicated. Exactly. I just got to talk to the guy in Atlanta and now it's all handled.
Exactly.
Everything is getting shrunk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The game is shrinking. Yes. And if you're not paying attention, like I told people, they was like, what has the Grammys been like this year? I said, the last year and a half has been the biggest amount of party.
Yes.
And fear.
Yeah,
in the same time. Everybody's happy because we're making money, but everybody's like, something about this shit don't feel right.
Listen, I promise you, this Grammy week.
Party and panic. That's what I would say.
I had an amazing time at the Grammy.
Yep.
I also said, man, I'm about to swipe my motherfucking head off. Because I wasn't about to. I knew that I wasn't going to be reporting them expenses no more. You feel me? I knew the job was going to be over with.
Yeah, so, you know what for I mean? Sure.
And other people was like, shit, we just going to swipe them out.
But you know what it is, though? We don't talk about a job being fired is very much like death. It's instant and it's over.
Yep.
And the people with, like, I consulted a couple of situations. And the weird part that I noticed is that the arrogance.
Yeah.
Of the people inside the system because of a job.
Yes.
Like, my arrogance comes from what I did outside.
Absolutely.
Not me getting a position, because I only got this position inside because what I did outside. Going outside. So when I hear people like being like, I'm like, y'all can't be arrogant like that. You can't say nothing sucks. You can't be like snobbish, because as bad as that is, there could be a girl named Hood Rat that has a song called Looking for the Cheese. And she has a rat on the stage with her. And every nigga in America is like, what the fuck is this? As soon as that shit go viral, somebody's pulling up with a check and gonna say, we got the rat girl.
Yep, we got the rat
girl. We got the rat girl. Yeah. Nigga, it's not about, it's when you start understanding that, it's like, why are you auditioning? Do you? Anybody who's listening to this, you wanna hear my advice? Fuck asking people for a job to check out your music, any of that shit. Get better every day.
Yes.
Because if you're better, it's going to show in the music. Everybody's watching. They're going to come to you.
It's no different from the NFL or the NBA, right? You know, I'm a big sports guy. a lot of the stuff that I talk about is generated around sports to some degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know Jerry Rice, right?
Yep.
We know Walter Payton.
Yep.
We know Steve McNair.
Yep.
All small black schools.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of that happening. Same thing in the music business. If you hot enough, they gonna come find you because they got nerds who go find that kind of stuff.
And speak like us. Dope.
Yep.
Dope. Yep. That's their favorite word. Every A&R favorite word. Dope.
Yeah.
You'd be like, man, what you doing, man? Nothing, man. I'm just trying to, you know, make it to the top, man. You know, put food on the table, feed my mama. Dope. Dope.
Yeah. So all you gotta do is go keep getting better at what you do. You know what I'm saying? And they gonna go, they gonna come find you. I think I think them laying all these people off, the people who they already had the relationships with, in like, let's just say a CMG for instance, right? Yeah, I know all of them guys. You know what I mean? I can get Gotti on the phone, everybody. I'm not saying this is gonna happen, but it would be whether it be him or Bag or anybody else that's starting their own situation, like, man, let me call Amir. Cause I know he know how to do everything. Right?
Everything.
Everything. You know what I'm saying? Let me call blah, blah, blah. Because I know she know how to do everything. That's what's going to start happening. And it's going to give the independents back the leverage. Because let's keep it a buck. Motown was independent.
Yes, it was.
You know what I'm saying?
LaFace. Everybody.
All that shit was independent. And all they did was go grab people who knew what the fuck they was doing.
Or had a passion for it.
Or had a passion for it.
That's exactly what LA and Face did. Shanti Das had passion.
Had a passion for it.
She didn't know she
it.
Was going to be a legend. Right. She was just passionate, was about, passionate about them and everything
and getting
else.
Getting shit done.
Yep.
You know, somebody called me and he was like, man, what, you know, a potential client called me and said, yo, what, you know, how do you feel about things? Like, how do you feel about the business? I said, man, I get a kick out of seeing things go from zero to 100.
Yep.
If it's already popping, I can't get no credit for that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
And not only that, they, like, see, I just got to give you props because you are really that deal. And
appreciate you, brother.
Nah, seriously. Like, it's weird that these young people who are coming up are not being trained to understand that.
Man.
They understand your role is to get better.
Yes.
Your role is not to chase checks.
Yep.
Your role is to get better, because if you're only chasing checks, you will run out of checks to
absolutely
chase. And if you're getting better, then you'll always have an opportunity because you're better. And we don't. And Benny Pugh would always say this: there are no old and gray black men in this game.
Nope.
Like, we have a expiration date, unless we become that nigga, and you can't expire us. Yep. I'm gonna leave this shit on my 2 feet the way I want to.
Yep.
No label's gonna tell me it's over.
Yep.
Bye. See you later, Ray. Yeah. It was good. Nigga, yeah. I came home to this.
Yeah. Nah, you listen, bro. We can exchange flowers. Cause
for sure.
I think when I saw you doing this, I said, he getting ready to start talking truth. He getting ready to start telling people how this shit really go. And a lot of us in these positions could not wait. We couldn't get on here because it was like, you know,
I want to talk, but
you
damn.
Know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But we would be in the comments, or we hit that motherfucking like button.
That like button is enough for me, because I already know your boss probably looking like, you like what he said?
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said about me?
Exactly.
But hey, why don't you call me, brother?
Hey, listen. So we see you. We believed in you. We see it. We feel it. And thank you for
thank
this,
you, bro.
Because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation. And you cutting through all of that shit, bro.
And I'm glad you said that, because when I started this, I knew it was going to be trouble. But I was like, I'm going to be on the right side of history.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be the guy that
you knew you was going to be a disruptor.
Yeah. It's hard for me. Like, if I'm sitting in the room and Amir's talking, or Rick, I'll shut the fuck up and let them talk.
Yeah.
Because I've seen them put in work.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch a nigga that don't know shit talk.
Man, listen.
It's hard to watch a nigga in the meetings who ain't never did shit, like, but because he's cool with the CEO.
I was about to say.
That's what it is. That's what it seems like the whole game is full of now. A bunch of people that
done. Yeah, but that's the point. They don't have to, because they're being hired by nerds who are saying, fuck what they're saying. Let me tell you something, my nigga. Cool will always be valuable.
Man.
There's not a... When I was a kid, and my grandmother was watching
cool.
Fonzie, nigga, he was selling cool.
Cool, yep.
Cool will always be... of have current currency in our community because everybody wants to fucking be cool, yeah. especially the nerds. That's why they fire the cool niggas. So now they're the new cool niggas.
Yeah.
Now their jokes are funny. Now everybody's not like, where's Ray at? With the real funny nigga at? He's like, what about, they want you gone, and they don't want artists looking up to you. Like, shout out to David Sebastian. Why? He wrote a letter to Warner and he said, I want to be released out my deal. By the way, labels are the devil behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They are evil, mm-hmm. evil machines because they're taking art and exploiting it and not giving a fuck about the artists. Mm. That's first of all, let's go there, right or wrong? So let's talk about that, right?
The
so
labels, insurance policies is crazy to me.
Labels
bro.
Are the devil. Labels are, so for me, when you start understanding that, it's like, man, I think we can win without being evil. That was my thought process. But the only way you could do that is if you're really smart. Only niggas that cheat are the ones that ain't good. Niggas that are good don't cheat. That's why, and by the way, I've been saying this to Jordan, Chad, who else, Jack, James, y'all all in this room. Jen, how many times have I sit on this couch? The goal should be to survive.
Yes.
Remember, like a cleanse is coming. Everybody need 18. So whatever you're doing, don't do nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Because in 18 months, it's going to be different.
It's going to be different.
You got to survive. So now what they do, they let people go. Now they're trying to see who's surviving. Now here's another thing we don't talk about. I hate that I know this type of shit. So here's what really happens with labels, guys. Mm-hmm. They fire people as employees because now you ain't got no corporate card. Now I ain't got to pay you on my payroll. And they hire them as consultants. Mm-hmm. You want to know why they hire them as consultants?
Now I ain't got to pay your benefits and I ain't got to give you no corporate card.
And I could charge everything I did for you back to that artist's budget.
Yep.
So now... I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of money out here. Everybody going to be able to consult.
Absolutely.
But I'm letting you know, the consulting thing was for them to be greedy, to take 10% more off the top. Just because, like, man, if we just have Amir work for us as an indie and pay him fucking $15,000, $20,000 per project, then we're good when we need him. So now it's like, here's your check. No, let me tell you the most powerful thing people do now. Say no.
Man.
Don't help them. Get on the artist team. That's the new rise. The new luxury cars are artists or labels.
That's what I was saying.
If you got an artist that's winning, you are in a luxury vehicle. If you got a label, you're in a luxury vehicle. Yeah. But if you got an artist, that's yours.
Yep.
If you got a label, nigga, they could take that from you at any given. And the crazy part, I knew about this merger a year and a half ago.
Yes,
everybody knew. But I didn't think that.
It was the worst kept secret ever.
But if I'm being honest with you, I thought that Interscope employees were going to be okay because Janik took over West Coast.
Yeah, I was like,
everybody at Capitol should be worried.
Yeah.
Def Jam worried, but Interscope, nigga, y'all boss is about to be the boss of the whole entire West Coast. Y'all straight.
Hey, man, it's so crazy because I was wondering if anyone that got let go has heard from him.
Mm-mm.
And I'm probably, I know the answer to that. But this was the worst kept secret in the music business.
Yeah? Yep.
You know what I mean? Folks, managers was, and it wasn't even coming from to me inside the building. It was coming from managers on the other side or people who got partnerships. It's like, yo, man, y'all about to get laid off anyway. Like, you know what I mean? So when you start hearing that shit, and again, I got discernment. I already knew this shit was coming. But when you start hearing it and it becomes, because it's not a rumor if it's true.
Yep.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's some shit right there. Don't tell me it's a rumor, nigga. Is it true?
It's true.
It's only a rumor. Wow, that's powerful.
It's not a rumor if it's true, yo. So when I started hearing it, you thinking it's a rumor. But when I started seeing it, you know, they cut our budgets.
Yep.
Right? And look, my staff had 8 people on it. They didn't want to make me the VP. And couldn't even tell me why. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it gave me some more money, but it's like, but because they know you make me a VP and I'm living in Los Angeles, it's a certain amount you're going to have to pay me.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So we not about to do that because we can't really let you off.
Yep.
You feel me? But you can have a little bit of more money. We ain't about to give you that VP minimum that you got to have, or that SVP minimum that you got to have by living in Los Angeles. So once you start to see shit, if you just walking around like this and acting like you don't see what's going on, man, that's on you. However, for me, again, and I can say this till I turn blue, I saw this shit, bro. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I started paying attention to the tea leaves, like, oh. And then, again, I had people. The nigga Tip told me, he said, bro, You a fucking disruptor. Me and him and Jennifer Drake was on a call probably about a year ago about doing a deal. And I'm saying, Tip, this ain't it. Like, different labels are good at different things.
Yep.
And I don't feel like Interscope is good at taking things from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want somebody who already got motion, and then they can post them up. That's what they good at. RCA is great at R&B.
R&B.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Exactly.
R&B,
you know
what I mean? black urban pop music. Exactly. RCA, nobody's better.
Def Jam was great at culture. Def Jam may not sign no acts, but guess what? They party or whatever they have, everybody was trying to get in that shit because it was going to be popping. You know what I'm saying? Each label does Columbia, good at pop shit and rhythmic shit. Like, you know, but so we was talking about something and I was like, man, this ain't the label for that. I'm telling Tip this. And he said to me, man, it sounds like you just over there paying your bills.
Woo.
And I said, Tip, to be honest with you, that's what I'm doing. I said, because this ain't the place. He said, man, you a motherfucking disruptor. You need to get out of there. He said, you need to get out of there as soon as possible. He said, because...
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel one or two ways. It made me feel two different ways. One, it made me say, how this nigga in my head, right? Telling me shit that I already know.
Yep.
Two, it made me feel like, damn, did I reveal that much of...
You don't even... But that's to me, that's the beauty of it. That's why I asked you that. People don't know how much they reveal without saying a word.
Yes.
People don't know how much they reveal by their answers, their body language, their everything, and all the other stuff. And they don't understand that. And that's why I was like, shout out to Tip, because he caught it. It's funny because KP, I was working when I was between jobs, KP was like, why you want a job? You're not built for this.
Man.
And that's how I felt, because it was like, I kind of was like, oh, fuck, you don't tell, I can do it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't saying you can't do it. He's just saying what you want to do, they're not going
to
let you.
Without you to do, yo.
And you're going to be frustrated every day, and you're going to be mad that you did it, and then you're in a contract, and they own your ass.
My
bottom line.
My boss, before, you know, Keenan, he ended up being my boss, but our boss, Larry Kahn, when I first went to Interscope, this time, he was the head of the department. And he told me, so the first year I went to LA, I was like, all right, you know, they was like, yeah, bet on yourself. I went out there without a contract.
Mm.
I bet. What's the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings?
Kirk Cousins.
So Kirk Cousins was going through the same thing at the time. They kept franchising him.
Yep.
So he even used that as an analogy. He said, man, like, bet on yourself. All right, cool. I'm going to come out here. And I get it. I probably had a little stink on my name before.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. I'm going to come out here, take everything. I'm going to go out here and bet on myself. All right. Second year come up. I'm like, man, listen, y'all told me y'all going to give me a contract in second year. Larry was like, man, don't sign no contract. And I kept saying to him, nah, bro, I moved out here from Atlanta.
I need to know I'm good.
And I got a family. I got kids in college. I had two kids in college at the time. Nah, I need. He's like, man, listen. He said this shit to me. He said, every day you come in my office, I feel like you getting ready to tell me you resigning.
Mm.
He said, something tells me that you're going to come in my office one day and tell me LeBron James hired you to run his media company. Or Nike hired
you.
Or some shit like that. He was like, so don't sign a contract. Now, had I not signed a contract, I would have been fucked right now. But I understood what he was saying to
me.
He was saying to me, bro, you really, they not use, he told them, y'all not using him the right way.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So because he started saying that to me, I knew whatever I was doing the right thing.
Yep.
On the side.
Yep.
In the front, pause. In the front, though.
Yep.
I knew whatever I was doing. Because he knew.
Yep.
But he wasn't about to say, yo, you hot. He just was like, keep doing what you doing, because somebody is going to say to you, bro, we need you to run our media department. We need you to run our marketing department. We need you. Because he knew that I was better than just getting a record played.
Yeah.
You feel me?
And not only that, if I got passion to do more,
why
not? Can I? Right.
Why not?
Dog, that's why Steph Curry is my favorite player. Because he brought the famous saying was, you can't win a championship with jump shots. And he was like, I don't know who the fuck y'all thought this was, but I'm going to win. And now centers can shoot jumps. Now centers are shooting threes. That's all Steph Curry. He changed the game being himself.
Absolutely.
And to me, if you're not, but shout out more importantly to Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson for allowing him. Because how many players don't reach their greatness because a coach is like, this is my system.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that might not work for me. Everybody ain't Phil Jackson. Everybody ain't Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to follow your system. But I just watched this shit change, and I'm like, is anybody not paying attention? Bruh. This shit is switching. Like, y'all not realizing that we're not signing anything that we like?
Bro.
Dog.
Listen, we impacted 8 records at radio last year.
Yeah.
Bro, that's like, that's an all-time low.
We used to do that most.
What? Bro, when I was at, when
y'all
I was
only,
at,
hold on, y'all only impact year. 8? Shut
bro,
the fuck up.
For the year, bro. Like, to me, that was the clue. Oh, this shit getting ready to come to an end.
How many records you think Def Jam put out last year? They did it.
No, bro, no.
It's less than 5.
Putting out is way different than impact.
Yes.
Putting out, Def Jam will let you put it out. We just paid the producer fee.
Right. They had 3 records that impact.
No, I'm saying, but impact means here's a budget, go.
Go, yes. We impacted 8, bro. I've been in labels where we might have done 8 in 2 weeks.
Can I ask you a question? Do you is that including the Jid record?
So,
because remember got a story Barry's about family. That. So Barry called me the Jid record came out a year, so, and then it hit a viral moment.
It came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, they hit, exactly.
And then it started having a viral moment at the top at the end of last year.
Yep.
They went for it on Rhythmic. Now I'm saying, yeah, we went for it 2 years ago, but let's go again.
Yeah. Mind you, when Barry called me, I was like, hold up, you got to convince them to go for a viral record that everybody is on that turned into a tour now with 21 and Jid. And I got to, y'all should want that record.
He did the late night show off a record that he had put out 2 years ago that we indeed get top 20 because we had this conversation with Barry. We did take it top 20 when we put it out, but now we got the other sauce. Now we know the record going research. Why not say, if it was my label and this shit started happening, I'm like, man, let me put another 50 on it, another 80 to see what was real. Because it definitely would have gone number one on Urban
without a doubt
and Rhythmic at the same time. So now we talking about, let's say Jid may be getting 300,000 or 400,000 a show. Now it's 750. Because now I got 2 number one records.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I got one on the Rhythmic side. I got one on the Urban side. So my money just went up.
All the way up. Now you got a happy artist.
Now you got a happy manager. Artist.
Now everybody want to work with
now
you.
Now everybody want to work. And now you getting more energy out of the artist for another 3 or 4 years.
They trust you.
Yep. Exactly.
And you have a winning third to say, hey, that doesn't mean because the record didn't work today. It could come 2 years from now. Just chill. Just be careful. Let's see what happens. And then boom, there it goes.
I was one of the ones in the building like, yo, we need to go back and get this record.
Yep.
And people were saying to me, man, they'll never do nothing like that. But see, just because it's never happened doesn't mean that it should not happen. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times
that's a chance to educate the PDs. Absolutely. That's a chance to say, bro, hey, we know we went 2 years ago, but look, guys, it's showing his head. This is a chance to show what radio can do. We already see what the internet can do. Now what can radio do? And now we're trying to figure out how to do that. And that's the key.
A lot of them stations was putting that record back in, bro.
Yep. And that's what I'm saying.
Because what we know is black women run culture.
Yes.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Yes. If the black women ain't doing the challenge started with some Asian kids.
Yep.
But once it got to them black women,
it was over.
It was over. So we know black women run culture. Black women was running that. Guess who listens to radio? Black women.
Yep.
So it was easy. Yep. I thought.
But
to connect the dots.
But not to beat a dead horse, but here's what artists don't understand. For any artist wondering why, here, let me explain to you why. Because radio costs money.
Absolutely.
You have to buy ads. You have to impact.
Absolutely.
So if I'm making, let's say if I'm making $300,000 a week from this song because it's a hit viral, you ask me to put another $400,000 in radio to get it to maybe $400,000, but radio makes artists famous.
Superstars.
Radio is how you become. The Baby is a superstar because he was on the radio. Yep. Glorilla became a star because of radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you got artists like NBA YoungBoy who don't have radio, who's a cultural phenomenon,
right,
but If NBA YoungBoy, why would his label go to radio for him?
Yeah,
just get that little nigga $20 million a year. Yep. He gonna make you 40,
yep.
And then we ain't got to do nothing. He gonna put the music out. He gonna go viral. So when people start asking that, I just want to make sure people understand this is a very high level conversation. This is the highest level conversation I've had on this show about business, because we usually don't reveal the business.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it's a new day. A new time, and if you just got, you don't need capital, you don't need none of that. You just, if anybody's watching that lost their job, this is what you should do. Post on your social media right now, I know I'm the guy that the labels hire, so you should hire me. And I'm going to do it for cheaper. You'll have fucking 25 clients immediately, because everybody's trying to figure it out, and everybody's trying to figure out how to break. And if you know something, then that's your advantage.
Your value.
Man, what? My phone been jumping. You hear me?
I ain't gonna lie. It was like mine was too. You know what it felt like? It felt like that. Anybody ever seen Independence Day? Remember when they had that alien ship that nobody knew about? Then he said, all of a sudden it's working now.
Yeah.
That's how I feel for me. All of a sudden what Ray said is right.
Hey, man, listen.
I'm a Virgo,
my
guys.
My phone been jumping, bro. And I'm talking like, you know, it made me stay an extra. I was gonna leave Atlanta Saturday. I had planned to leave Atlanta this past Saturday. And when me and you had the exchange, I was like, all right, and I hit him, he said Wednesday. Since Wednesday, bro, I mean, since I got here, because that happened on Wednesday, I mean, they laid us off on Wednesday, man, my phone been jumping about opportunities. Like, folks saying, and I'm taking all meetings, but I can tell in the first couple of seconds of this meeting if this is a money meeting or this is just so I can say I sat down with Amir. You feel me?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm able to deviate between the two. And the money meetings, I haven't had the money meetings yet, but they can't wait for me to get to them. You feel me? And I'm the same way. I'm in my mind right now, I'm like, damn, do I want to stay in LA? Do I want to move to Dallas? Do I want to move to Houston? Do I want to come back to Atlanta? And I got artists here. They really want me here. You know what I'm saying? I got an artist in LA. He really want me in LA. And at the same time, I'm like, man, I got to pray on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It'll reveal itself.
Something will reveal itself. But my overall point is, like, you know, if you know some shit is about to happen, I use Waze, right?
Yep.
And Waze always tell you where the police at.
Yep.
But they also tell you where the potholes at.
Yep.
So the police, I already know, I can see them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Potholes you necessarily can't always see. They tell you where the potholes at, bro. So if you know where the potholes at, then you know to get over.
Exactly. Pothole coming up.
Pothole coming up. You know what I'm saying? So I was waiting. I was using Waze. It was telling me the pothole was coming.
Speaking of potholes, we just gave everybody the blueprint to avoid them on this show.
Exactly.
If you pay attention, by the way, we don't talk enough about how some people are not built for this.
That's true.
Like it, the music business is easy because it's just people reacting.
Yep.
And if you can't make it in this, that means you're not paying attention. And if you want to win in this shit, paying attention is the number one quality you must have.
Yeah, because that also entails that you are detail oriented.
Yes, you have to be. So when you say, I saw this a year ago, mind you, I've been saying this for the last year. Survive, survive, survive. Because I'm like, bro, they're about to call us back.
Yep.
But they need us to be different now. Yep. And I'm cool with that. I just ain't gonna work for nobody. I consult all day. I'm not working for nobody.
Yeah,
We gotta wrap it up. I just wanna say this. Yeah. Bro, we love you.
Yes, thank you.
You that love nigga. You and I'm gonna give you a piece of advice. I'll get on Calendly right now and I'll charge $500 for 30 minutes to an hour. And every street rap label, dope boy, nigga trying to come up, they need to be lining up to talk to you.
It's happening.
No. I'm saying, but they all need to know.
Yeah.
Because you are a label yourself.
Yeah.
You can A&R, you can promo, you can market, you can do all of that shit. So you're A&R, you're a label by yourself. By the way, I feel like that about myself. I feel like I can A&R, I can market, I got my own shit.
Yeah.
So you are a label. And for me, I just hope that nobody offers you a check to go back inside, because how the fuck are these young black kids going to know that they could be Amir if Amir is quiet?
Man, listen, bro.
And Amir can't be quiet because these kids need to know you exist, because every kid is weird because when you go look at them NBA, like you like sports like me, go look at them NBA coaching teams. Yeah. The black players always, the black coaches are always ex-players.
Yep.
Vin Baker, Sam Cassell.
Yep.
Who the white guys? You know who they are? They were guys that just started early in that world.
Yep.
Like, they tell black kids, you got to be able to dunk to do this. They tell white kids, you don't have to be able to dunk. You could be his agent.
Yeah.
Why we ain't telling black kids, you can be an agent. Yeah. You can be a coach. You can be that. And for me, the only way to do that is by showcasing coaches.
Showcasing, yeah.
So for me, that was the goal. But by the way, so before I start, I want to say shout out to our sponsor. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. You should definitely get in their registry because there's okay. a lot of people on that label that need
say
you.
Less.
Shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to KLH2O. And also shout out to Yoko Vodka. And shout out to anybody that watched this, man. Like, subscribe, share. We everywhere. Tell a friend, tell a friend. The only way we're going to be able to keep shit like this going is if you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Absolutely.
And that's how we take our narrative back. And then people like us being in more power helps everybody like you being in power because we more like y'all than we in them.
Absolutely.
Why you think we on the couch talking?
Nah, man, I appreciate y'all, man. This has been dope. You know, anytime you need me.
Oh, no, we're going to bring you back. Yeah, I just had to get this part out because they don't know what you know yet.
Yeah.
They don't know the history, the calls you made,
yeah.
the history you've been a part of. We got to get into that. Yeah. But, bro, I just want you to land on your feet,
absolutely.
Nigga.
I'm already on my feet,
by
baby.
The way,
we flying over
I want
here.
You to fly. Yes. I don't want you to land on your feet.
We flying over here.
I'll never forget when I left Warner, L.A. Reid called me. He said, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. And he said, I said, but you should call them and ask them. Mm. Are they okay? Because I'm in a speedboat now.
Dang.
Nigga, they are on the way to, they are a power boat. And the Titanic and the iceberg is right there.
Bro, it's been so and many
mind
product
you, they
managers.
Might not, they might not hit the iceberg, but they're going to dump. Sir, we can't. We gotta hit the iceberg. What should we do,
bro?
Dump the promo department. Dump the every. Yeah, dump them man. All. We need room to turn. They just throwing niggas off the boat now.
It's product managers over there. That made it through. That's hitting me like, yo,
scared
I can't
enough.
Believe.
Scared
and
enough.
They like, yo, you was the one. You was the one that was getting us. Blah 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 blah. Hey man, come on. I got an invoice.
And the last thing I'm gonna say, and we're gonna wrap it as this: bet on yourself.
Bet on yourself.
If you believe, if you are out there asking to be an A&R. Asking to do marketing, asking to be in radio, asking to do that. You can do it your damn self.
Yeah.
You don't need no one to do that. So instead of asking for a job, bet on yourself.
Bet on yourself.
Said Amir. Yes. This is the Culture Report. We are out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.